According to St. Mark, and we listen to the 35th through 45th verses. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink of the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And then the 10, when they heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them all together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. These words that are spoken in a wonderful back and forth conversation with Jesus and his disciples, they're our words this morning. And I would hope that they might infuse your life with insight and clarity, that they might poke you a little bit and they might push you and they might help to form you into the person that God created you to be. So when you leave this place, you're different than when you came in. If that's God's desire and your desire for this moment, welcome. You may be seated. Let's get into it. Well, I love this moment of revolution. I really do. This is something that was put together a couple years ago by Pastor P.J. Moline, and he just was doing some study and thinking about discipleship, and it's always one of those conversations. We think of discipleship of long ago, and it's really hard, if you do study on the modern-day church, to invade people like you and me with this concept of discipleship. It sounds old, doesn't it? Discipleship. Who talks about discipleship? Well, I do believe, I really do, that there is a pathway that Jesus has placed in our possession. And if we open up our minds and our hearts and we begin to think about it and not get too freaked out about it, not think it's old, but it's relevant for today, great things can happen. So I welcome you to revolution. What a great thing. Not resolutions. Resolutions go away. How many of you don't raise your hands. How many have gone, you know, the gym was still a little packed when I was there this week. But you know what'll happen in a couple months. There'll be nobody there. Resolutions, they go away. But a revolution in your heart and soul can last forever. So let's pray over this moment. Allow God to do what God wants with our lives. Lord God, lead us on this pathway that Jesus has put before us. And may it be truly before you a revolution of our soul, that we might change and rearrange and think differently, and that we might truly become the people you desire us to be. And so before you, Lord, we bow, we come with humble adoration. We sing praises and song and listen to your word. But we want more than anything for it to connect so that when we leave, we are different people. Guide us on this pathway, and may we find clarity today in what it means to serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So last week, we took some time to look at what it was like for Jesus to say, follow me. One of the things he does in Scripture is he pulls together his band of 12 is to go to where they're at in their work environments, their family settings, and say, follow me. And this miraculous thing happens in Scripture that sometimes we believe could never happen to us. They drop everything and they follow him, and their lives become better, not worse. Better. Like, that's what we want. And so we wrestled with what it means to follow Jesus. But you know, along the pathway, once they followed him, they were trying to ask the same questions we're asking here today. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And one of the first things they began to see was they began to see Jesus as servant. So they began to see that he was saying, serve with me. So they watch him. And then they hear him. And there are so many places, like the passage I read for you a couple of moments ago, where they hear Jesus bring this image of being a servant into their possession. They watch him, they hear him. And then this must have been going on. Sometimes it's good to connect some of the dots of Scripture and to say, what would these Hebrew young men who were called as part of this 12 that began the journey of discipleship with Jesus, what did they have in their bedrock foundation? And one of the things they had was a teaching of old. It was Deuteronomy 6, known as the Great Shema. We talk about it often, translated in then the teaching that Jesus would teach of the Great Commandment. Goes like this: you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, might. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. And this was a part of the bedrock foundation of any Hebrew person who was raised up in the faith, which these men were. And so they watched Jesus serve. They heard Jesus speak about serving. They had this foundational pillar of Deuteronomy 6 in their background. And then this began to happen. This is what's so wild and so cool. They began to see through different eyes, live through different hearts. And the final thing that happens is transformation. And so we're here today, and we get to travel along with one of the moments where all 12 really wrestle with it, but two are front and center, James and John, and they are the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. So you would imagine they had some Hebrew chutzpah in them. And they had this desire to kind of move forward. And we hear it right away because they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus this question that maybe you've remembered from hearing this gospel before. They say, Jesus, we want to ask you something. Will you give us an answer that we want to hear? Because when we come to Jesus, we always want him to tell us what we want to hear, right? And so what they ask is, will you allow us to be at your left and your right hand in the kingdom when you come to glory? And he says, whoa, wait a minute. You don't have a clue what you're asking. Are you ready to drink the cup I am ready and going to drink? Are you ready to be baptized with the same baptism I'll be baptized? And what this means is, are you willing to suffer and go to the cross? He's foreshadowing what will happen to him on Calvary as he dies on the cross. And what do they say? Just like, this is like the goofiest way of, yeah, we're in. They didn't have a clue what they were in for. And he breaks it to them. He says, yeah, you will drink that cup. You will be baptized. If you go back and historically dig on all of the disciples, they all end up giving up their lives the way Jesus did, in different ways, shapes, and form for the faith, because finally they figured out this journey of the revolution wheel. And they gave their all for the kingdom. That's why we're here today. But it's easy to poke fun at James and John, right? I mean, who would ask Jesus that kind of question? Come on, I would. Come on. Yeah, really? There's one other place in Scripture that we could have turned to, and if you want to go back and read Matthew 20, there's another account of James and John having this question asked for them. I call it the Naperville account because it's James and John's mom that asked for them. Yeah, come on, we know that. The helicopter parents of our culture that live in this society that we live in. But whatever, whoever asks, I think it's better to look at James and John because that brings each one of us up close and personal, that there is a possibility that we might ask that kind of radical question before God. Not what God wants, but what we want. I think it's good to admit that if any of us had a possible moment with Jesus to ask him a question of anything he would do for us, we may ask first of something which is important only to us. Because that's who we are, sinful, created in his image. Yeah, but we become sinful beasts. We sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's interesting, the other 10 become indignant. And maybe that's where I sometimes think when I read this scripture, I become a little indignant of James and John. How could you ask that question? Come on, get holy, will you, for a little while? Well, they were only trying to stumble in to figure out what does it mean to follow Jesus. And they were at this place, the same place we're at today. What does it mean to serve? Because that's who Jesus was. He was the suffering servant. He served on our behalf, did he not? He died on the cross so that we would have new life. That is the greatest gift of servanthood I could ever think of. That one would lay down their life for another one. And that's what he did for us and for all of creation. He uses this moment as a teaching moment because there's tension in the midst of his tribe of 12. He's got two that are out there in the egoville of life and the other 10 who are in the sanctification moment of thinking they're holier than thou. And so he breathes into them this moment of teaching, which I think makes sense for us today. He says, look out there in the world. What do you see? Don't you see people who try to lord it over other people or rule other people or oppress other people or push other people down? Yeah, that's what you see. That's what we all see. We could see that even today. He says these words, not so with you. Don't give in to that kind of behavior. Not so with you. Be different. Be unique. Be the way you were created to be. Don't think you have to oppress other people or be better than other people or push other people down. Not so with you. And then he says to them, this is how you do it. If you're going to be a leader, you serve first. And if you're going to be a servant, you're going to be a servant to everybody first. And he uses this powerful moment. Something I think we could all learn today. We can get pretty arrogant as human beings. We can think that we could do anything that anybody wants to do, right? Did you hear this crazy, wild story that came out of California this week? A lot of crazy. I have two sons who live in California, but a lot of crazy stuff comes out of that state. But this one came out of a woman. It could have been in Illinois, too. I know it could have. Who went to Costco in the early days of December and purchased a Christmas tree. You know, a live cut-down Christmas tree. And she took it home and must have decorated it in her house. And then, last week, she brought it back to Costco, wanting her money back because it was dead. That's the craziest story I've ever heard. But it tells me a lot about who we are inside. You know, we look at that, we laugh. But we all try to get away with a lot, don't we? We all try to say, you know, I think I can push the envelope a little bit. I think I know what's right. I think I'll even try to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes when the truth is right in front of us. And this God today, through Jesus, through this encounter with James and John and the other 10 disciples, is bringing us a new way of seeing things. And that's exactly what happened as they followed Jesus. They saw him serve. They heard the teachings. They built on Deuteronomy 6, and then they saw, and their hearts changed, and there was transformation. Adeline and I just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. Yeah, it was fun. It really was. January 2nd. And so we decided it would be fun. We have not spent all that much time alone together. Usually when we do, it's with our kids, which is great. But we decided, wouldn't it be phenomenal at 35 years to take some time just for us? So we did. And so I did some research, and I wanted to go someplace warm. Who wouldn't right now, right? And the Caribbeans had some difficulties due to storms. So I looked, and we had been to Cancun 32 years ago. We went back, and we went and had a blast for 6 days. Like, we just shut down. And we stayed in an all-inclusive resort. I'd never done that before. And it was a unique moment. Because anything you wanted food-wise, anything you wanted drink-wise, anything you wanted to do, you know, recreationally, it was yours. You didn't have to pay another cent. You already paid them, but you didn't have to pay another cent. And so it was unique, and we were served like never before. In fact, the entire staff, well done, wrote them a reference on Yelp and TripAdvisor because they produced for what I paid. And they would go by you and they'd put their hand on their heart and they'd say hello to you. You know, their service was coming from the heart, and it truly was. And one of the unique things that happened to us is we were upgraded when we got there, which I like. Anyone will take an upgrade, right? Well, we were upgraded into a place where what ended up happening is we had for a week at our disposal, if we wanted it, a butler. That was unique. Someone serving me. And here's the cool thing. The butler's name was Jesus. That would be Jesus in Spanish. And I just thought, whoa, God, what are you doing to me? You're serving this vessel. And I'll tell you, I knew Jesus took some time to go away for a while to get refueled. And let me say, it's good for us all to get refueled. But after a while, I want to come clean. I was getting a little uncomfortable. I was getting a little uncomfortable with everybody spending all the time on me. I'm thankful that that happened in my life because it is too easy to get anesthetized to being fed by other people and just receiving. And we all go through that journey and that zone, and we want what we want, and it's good to stop the madness. It's okay to be refreshed. But you get refreshed for a reason, not to hoard. You get refreshed to give back. You get refueled so that you can take that fuel and spend it the way God wants you to spend it, in service. So there's three big questions that have erupted in my mind over the course of the last week or two as I prepared for this day, as I pushed up against James and John's question, as I asked the difficult questions of myself and what I see out there in the world and how people are responding. And the first question that I'd like to pose to you is, do you see serving as a difficult adventure, one that is heavy, burden-oriented? And if you do, I'd like to talk you away from that today. Serving should never be heavy. It should never be, I have to. It should never be a moment where we say to ourselves, I'll do it, and then I'll move on. And if I check the box, if I do a feed my starving children moment once, then I guess I'm good for the next couple months. If I take chocolate chip cookies to my neighbor and maybe even help them shovel their driveway at the next snowfall, then I can wave to them, but I don't really have to engage them. And that is something that we all fall into. And so when it comes to our schedules, there are schedules. When it comes to the things we want to do, they're the things we want to do. And serving is about other people. It's about giving God his glory. It's about taking time. And it's about, how can I do that? Because I have so much else to do. It's about a moment in time instead of a time for a moment. And the time for a moment is this: change. Change the way you perceive how you serve. Instead of it being an isolated thing that you do, I serve once at the Connect Center, or I serve on an usher team, or I served helping to take care of Christmas Eve services. I served that once. I guess I've done my due diligence. I can move on and get back in my crucible of my environment. And God would say, no, like, see things a little differently today. It's not about what you do in service. It's what you do for me with the gifts you've been given. It's about how you forward my kingdom every time you have a servant's heart. It's about a 24/7 mentality rather than a momentary serving moment. It's a lifestyle. And I hope you begin to see it that way, because when we see it as a heavy burden, we forget that Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest, and my burden is easy and my yoke is light. This adventure with Jesus is not intended to be one which gives us a headache and a problem in our lives. It's supposed to open up the sinful crucible that we have locked away, that has gotten rotten, and open it up with new life, new breath from God, and we begin to see things differently and our lives change. And who in this room doesn't want your life to change? We're all out for that. If you're not, check your pulse. You might not be alive right now. Do you see serving as a burden? If you do, give up on that. See it as a way of life, a joy-filled way. It's how you were originally created to be. And when you tap into that, you're going to see maximized growth in your life every step of your journey. Second thing, do you see transformation at all in your life right now? Do you see anything happening which is transformational? Or are you locked away in problems and pains? And that's easy to do in life. We get locked away because we begin to look at me, myself, and I, an internal vision cast. We see through our own eyes, we feel through our own heart. And one of the things the early followers of Jesus figured out after following me, when they got this moment of serve with me, they began, once again, I shared this with you a moment ago, to see through the eyes of God and feel through the heart of God. And it changed the game. Their lives were never the same. They didn't look back and say, I wish I had. They looked forward and say, I'm glad I have what I have today. I just want to find out what it means to grow deeper in love with you, God. And they took this journey of a lifetime. Possibly you've heard the scripture from 2 Corinthians 5:17. When I say it, maybe you've heard this before. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We come to worship. We want to be a new creation. That's transformational. In order to do that, you really have to take the old way of doing things and cast away. This is a challenge moment. This is a reorganization. This is not New Year's resolution. This is revolution in your life, a reorganization of the things that are holding you down so that you can fly on behalf of God. And that's what he wants you to do. He created you to do good things. He didn't create you to mope around or to think about only your needs. He created you to be a servant, to look at other people, to not see it as a burden, but see it as transformational. And you will, all of a sudden, the outside crustiness of the human being that you have allowed to exist, that you thought looked so good, will break away. And your life will become the life you were created to be in God's image. And the final question, not only do we see it as a burden, do we see transformation, but the final question, I think, is the real one that I want to get to. When you hear Jesus speak, do you believe the words he says? And I think in a sanctuary like this, yeah, I believe it. Well, don't actions speak louder than words? Are you living it, I guess, is the big question. Are you living the way God designed you to live, as a servant vessel for his glory and for others' needs? Or are you thinking about yourself first? How many of you love to read? I would imagine in this room there's a lot. New Year also comes up with a book list. People have been asking me for some suggestions. I've got one. If I could have purchased copies of this for all of you, I would have done this today. But you can find it yourself. Irwin McManus, pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, right on Hollywood. If you ever get a chance to worship in L.A. on a Sunday morning, Mosaic's a great place to go. It sits right at the edge of Hollywood Boulevard, where Groman's is and all of the stars, the Walk of Stars, at La Brea. And so they're right in the midst of the crazy madness, and they've done a great job on behalf of Jesus Christ. He wrote a book out of a very difficult situation he went through with cancer that's based on the life of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets for God in the Old Testament. It's called The Last Arrow, The Last Arrow. And one of the images is, you don't want to leave this earth with an arrow in your quiver. You want to be able to spend it all for God. I have a good friend on Team World Vision, Rusty Funk, whose desire is this. He wants to leave this earth with empty pockets and worn out shoes. What a cool image. That means you don't hold anything back. So in this book, one of the images that Irwin shares, I'll give you a little taste of this moving forward. It'll infuse your life with power and strength. It will be a wonderful read for you. But he takes us back to when this United States of America was being developed. Those who went from the East Coast to the West Coast are known as the pioneers of our country, yes? And our background. The covered wagons, the other types of adventures that people went on. And people would pioneer from the East Coast, and they would go and they would hit the frontier to find out new adventure and new experience. Some made it all the way to the West Coast. They finished their journey, their pioneer experience. He, though, brings a unique image that some stopped in places like Missouri or Oklahoma, and they became known as settlers, right? Nothing wrong with living in Missouri or Oklahoma. But he takes that image, and he overlays it on our Christian life. And he says, you know, we're not called to be settlers. We're called to be pioneers, always pioneers. Because if what ends up happening is we settle in one little place, we never move forward. Jesus was not a settler. If he had, he would not have gone to the cross at Calvary. That's a pioneer adventure. And I would like to infuse into your life this mentality of being a pioneer, of thinking how you serve as you follow Jesus. You will pioneer a spirit that you are not going to settle into one thing and one thing only, because that's what we do. We say, this is my service environment, and I'm not stepping out. I've become comfortable here, and I'm not going to push the limits. And transformation doesn't happen. That moment becomes a burden, or maybe just a comfortable environment, of which then it becomes a burden to other people because you don't utilize your gifts fully. We heard that from 1 Peter today. Use your gifts. Serve the way you've been called to serve. If you have an opportunity, read 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans chapter 12 or Ephesians chapter 4. They all talk about how these intricate moments of every person in this room and on the face of this earth, we all have different gifts. And when we use them well to God's glory, that's when things happen. So use your gifts well. Have a pioneering spirit. Don't settle. So here's the challenge to all of you today. No matter where you're at this moment, if you've settled into a nice serving pattern and you say, I serve, I want to shake it up. I hope you go home and you say, okay, I can continue to do that. What else can I do? One of the people I follow on social media is Bob Goff. If you've ever known of the book Love Does, it's a great read. Another one, Bob Goff, and I follow him. He blogs, he posts. He posted this on social media the other day, just a little statement. If we only do what we're familiar with, we might miss what we've been made for. I would never want to miss when I get to God at the end of my life, which is going to happen to us all. And he said, you know, like the train left the depot and you weren't on it. What happened? Well, I got too comfortable. I settled. He wants us all to have this pioneering spirit in our heart that if we're going to learn how to take this revolution journey, if there's really going to be more than resolution, but revolution, we're going to learn what it means to be a pioneer on behalf of God. We have a little wheel that we can show you today that might get you thinking about these moments. So this next slide has this kind of image. You can see it. It's cyclical. Jesus is at the center. You might think, how do I serve in the church? How do I serve in my neighborhood? How do I serve in my family? How do I serve in my worship, my work, or my school? It all becomes worship when you do that. And it's not like you pick one and you leave the others to just fall by the wayside. Find something in all of those places to do. Maximize your life because that's what God desires. He doesn't want to leave one of the stones in your heart unturned. He wants to make you the person that he originally created you to be. And that's exactly the journey that the early church went on. They heard Jesus say, follow me. And they did it. I'm in. And then they tried to discover, what does it mean to follow you? And he said, he showed them. What it means, you will serve. Just like I'm serving. I'm the suffering servant. You'll serve. And then he taught them what it means. And he teaches us what it means to serve. It's about others. It's about God. And then they knew there were some bedrock foundational pillars they built on. Love God, love your neighbor. And they put it into action. And when they did, there was transformation. My hope for all of us today would that we would leave this place and transformation would occur. Not just by snapping our fingers, but by taking some time to look deep into our soul. And ask the questions, do we see service as a burden? Have we given in to settler mentality instead of pioneering adventure? And ask God, what could you do? What will you do? Use me, Lord. I would pray that would be the prayer of your heart as you take this next step along the revolution journey, as we all learn to serve with him. Let's pray over this moment. Lord God, guide us along this journey. Fill us with this servant heart mentality. Help it to be a 24/7 adventure, not to be something which is heavy, but something which is given to you as light and joy-filled and hope environment where others can feel and know your presence. Lord, speak deep into our heart today. Challenge us. If we're rigid right now and saying, I'm not doing this, may we have a melting of our heart moment before we leave this place. And may we leave with a new conviction that we will not settle, but we will be your pioneers in the days to come as we serve with you. Thank you for this moment to take another step along the revolution of our heart. Work with us, mold and shape us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.